You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yeah, the president sucks.
Fuck!
And she's a whooping fuck.
Oh!
Your shit is out of luck.
Fascism!
It's the song I hate. It's the song I hate. Another Nazi attack.
We are well underway our Fuck Off Fascism Week. Here on The Wire, we've been unpacking ideas around the concepts of fascism, its history, how it exists today, and how it interacts with media and the arts. In the background, currently, we are listening to Der Ring Nibelungen by known Nazi composer Richard Wagner, just to set a little mood. Today on the show, I try to unpack just how likely it is that a fascist state will gain traction in today's world. According to Robert Paxton, author of The Anatomy of Fascism, considered essential reading for any student on fascist movements, there are five stages by which the 20th century fascism rose and fell. He states that first, ideological formation and creation of parties with quasi-military cadres. There is talk of national humiliation, lost vigour, and the failures of liberalism and democracy. Second, there is an entry of a party to national politics, intimidation and planned acts of reformative violence against suspected minorities. Third, there is the arrival in government and allegiance with the conservatives. Fourth, there is an exercising of power in concert with institutions and business. The regime expands control, restricts ideas and democratic processes, corporatizing businesses and collectivizing the people. Finally, there is the radicalization or entropy. Some fascists go down and most die of boredom. It's certain that elements of Paxton's stages appear in radical alt-right movements that are gaining traction around the world currently, with increasing xenophobia and economic instability. But just how likely is it that fascism will make a complete resurgence? I spoke with an expert on the birth of modern Europe and fascist states about fascism's initial rise and how we can apply that to now. Historically, what were the grounds for a fascist state? How did fascism come about?
So it came about as a direct result of the instability and economic and political instability that World War One reaped. And it came about primarily in Italy, firstly in Italy. And originally it was, like as early as 1919, it was a populist movement of World War One veterans, disaffected World War One veterans and young, quite educated middle class men mostly. Which had its origins in the politics of the left, really. If you look at the very first manifesto of fascism in 1919, it calls for things like nationalizing banks, an 8-hour working week, seizing the properties of the church, and Mussolini himself, Benito Mussolini, who became the first fascist dictator in Italy in 1922. He had come from a history of being first an anarchist. Famously, as a boy, he was arrested for throwing rancid tomatoes at churchgoers on a Sunday. He had to escape to Switzerland. So he was first an anarchist, then a socialist for quite a long time, and then broke with socialism. And because of World War One, really, he bought into the cult of violence came up with fascism as a different response to the issues of social injustice and so on.
So, do you think fascism is rooted in violence?
I think fascism historically is definitely rooted in violence. Without violence, it wouldn't have become mainstream or taken power. Yeah, and it's. And culturally, very early fascism makes no mystery of this. It embraces the cult of strength, the cult of youth, physical strength, and violence against opponents.
So do you think that at the end of World War II, do you think fascism ended for good?
Well, an ideology doesn't end for good ever, right? But as a political as a political regime, fascism as we understand it historically, in Europe at least, probably did end in, at the end of World War II, but in terms of losing power rather than ending. But of course, globally, you can find, you can, you know, after World War II, you can still find dictatorships that have similarities with fascist states, extreme censorship of the media, extreme control and repression of the population. But whether they're fascist or not is quite an academic debate. You know, it's quite hard to define which state is fascist and which is not, because fascism itself, even at its heyday, even in fascist Italy or Nazi Germany, had very significant ambiguities and contradictions. It was revolutionary on the one hand, but also very conservative, anti-capitalist in ideology, but actually in practice, very pro-industrialist.
Do you think that statement can be applied to the current situation in the United States? I mean, the contradictions of conservatism and capitalism.
There were contradictions on display during the last election campaign, both the primary and the presidential campaign. And Trump exposed those contradictions, not the fact that some of his supporters had sympathy for Bernie Sanders, for example, right? And yet that he always was, and he has just enacted policies that are clearly not for the working class, but huge tax cuts for the rich and things like that. So, yes, I think there are many similar contradictions in that sort of extreme right wing politics that disguises itself as populist and popular in order to advance actually an ultra conservative defense of the elites.
Do you think that the current global political situation, economically as well, that there are grounds for fascism to rise up again, specifically in America?
Well, I think I was heartened by the way that the courts in the federal system seemed to kind of stand up to some of Trump's, especially his very first decrees, you know, around immigration and the likes. You know, there seemed to be a strong rule of law, a strong separation of powers. It's going to be a fight, but I think it seems to me that there is a system that is solid. So this is a roundabout. Okay, I'll get to answering your question. So it's just a roundabout way of doing it. There are some similarities, I think, in terms of a context of a long-term economic recession, you know, and concerns around immigration and xenophobia that do remind us of the interwar period, the 20s, the 30s, when fascism rose. I think, though, if there is a right-wing turn, a turn towards despotism, it won't look like fascism did in the 20s and 30s. So, to some extent, I think the label, trying to attach the label, a label that belongs at a very specific point in time, to contemporary events, is a bit of a distraction. But the point is that we have to defend civil rights. I believe we have to defend civil rights, democracy, social justice, and that's under threat, quite clearly.
And the media definitely seem on board with defending it. It's very interesting, yeah, especially seeing how hounded Trump is by the media. And in Europe as well, we've had very much rise of alt-right movements with Marine Le Pen and Geert Wilders, but they have been unsuccessful in reaching office. Do you think that that's significant?
Yeah, I think the defeat of Marine Le Pen is very significant, because it's quite possible, it's quite likely that it would have brought to the end of the EU. And the EU, for all its faults, does provide a kind of, you know, a democratic, philosophical, even kind of moral coherence to a collection of very diverse states, many of which are at risk of going back to fascism. I'm thinking of cases that your listeners may not be as familiar with, like Slovakia, or Hungary with Jobbik, which is currently in power in coalition. It's an openly fascist party. Golden Dawn in Greece, the Northern League in Italy. So I think the strengthening the EU is really, and consolidating it and protecting it from really serious challenges like Brexit is really important. And actually, since I mentioned Brexit, one thing that worried me immensely just yesterday in the aftermath of that terrible attack in Manchester, where commentators, even what you would call, you know, respectable journalists, somebody, I forget her name, from the Daily Telegraph, who tweeted in favor of internment of thousands of Muslims, kind of preventive internment. So you don't have to go, you don't have to anymore go to the far, far right, or the alt-right, as I think you called it earlier, to find opinions, ideas that are being legitimized, that are clearly in the spectrum of fascism.
Yeah. Fuck off fascism.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.